Thank you for the kind introduction. Dear colleagues, ladies and gentlemen, it's a great pleasure for me to be here. And just one remark to Gary and the redundant space. I think the pleural space isn't redundant, otherwise you couldn't make a thoracoscopy and life would be for thoracic surgeons much harder if they hadn't a pleural space. So we are very happy to have you. Okay, my disclosures. I'm a medical consultant for Medela Healthcare and for Escolab in surgical instruments. Just to show you where I'm from, there's the Lebanon and there's Germany, and this is a map of Germany, and I'm coming here from the very south of Germany. It's a region at the Lake of Constance next to Switzerland and Austria. It's a beautiful region. That's a view from my office. And this is my hospital where I'm working, a teaching hospital. My personal experience, I'm 25 years now, more than 25 years in surgery, over 18 years in thoracic surgery, and I'm working on chest drainage systems since 13 years now, and I've done more than 2,000 cases with the TOPA system, with this electronic system. I don't like this wording of digital, actually, because it leads a little bit into the wrong direction, but digital is a synonym for a precise tool. It's electronic, you have software in it, and it gives you objective data. It's absolutely reliable and it's safe. And just to give you an example, if you have an analog or a digital clock, it doesn't play a role. If they are correct, you get the correct time, whether they are analog or digital. This is not the real point. So digital, I want to replace it for the term of a modern chest drainage system. You all know we have the water seals and the canisters since 30 or 40 years, and nothing really happened with these devices. So very important for me and for us is the term of system. We have an integrated system where everything fits together, and this is quite important. I will show you. So what are our requirements, whether we are pneumologists or thoracic surgeons, to a chest drainage system? The system has to be simple and safe. This is very important. It has to be easy and fast assembled. This is for the nurses very important. So it should be dummy-proof, no mistakes when assembling these systems. And if you remember, if you are more experienced and longer in the business, when you have these old systems with a lot of bottles and tubes, and this was always really, really exciting whether it worked or it didn't work. So the ideal system works in every indication you have, whether surgery or non-surgical indications. So you have the flexibility, and you have in your hospital or in your practice just one system. This is once again a question of safety. The patient should be mobile. This is especially for us in the thoracic surgery becoming more and more important because people are getting older and sicker, and we have to mobilize them as soon as possible to get them out of bed, to reduce complications or to avoid complications. We want to have reliable systems. It should be silent, because this bubbling 24 hours a day over a couple of days is really disturbing. It should be lightweight, and last but not least, it should be cost-effective. This is becoming more and more an issue. So we have safety issues, and we have issues more into going into patient comfort, but this is also very important. So this is a system I'm talking about. This is it's called Topaz. There are other systems on the market, actually one other system from a German company, and there is a Korean company who copied this one but never get it to work. So actually there are two electronic devices on the market. And you see it's small, it's mobile, it's flexible. This is a 35-year-old lady on post-op day two after a 4-hour metastectomy. She's on the ward, she's walking around, and she can easily carry this system. We also created a shoulder strap to put it around the shoulder, but the patients, interestingly, don't want it, they want to use it like a bag. So why digital? What are our requirements? Once again, we want to have objective data. We want to have not bubbles, but numbers. Maybe you all know this discussion in the morning round or in the evening round. Is it a huge air leak or is it a small air leak? The nurse said, I saw some bubbles 2 hours ago. And the fellow said, this is a huge air leak. You as a maybe very experienced doctor say, well, there's a couple of bubbles, no problem. So we all had this discussion and we want to avoid it. We want to have clear and objective data where we can base our decisions. It should be precise. And we should rely on the data, and it should be safe. You all know if you have a really sick patient, you can kill him with the wrong management of a chest tube. So the systems, they derive data as close as possible to the chest cavity, to the pleural cavity. So you can go inside the in the routine with a catheter to gain the data. So we do it at the connection from the tubing to the chest drain. This is the closest way we can do it. And we have software in this system which has been optimized over the years. We started in 2007 and we had no idea how we should do this software, where are the limits, where are our algorithms, how to handle this. So we developed it over the years and are now really satisfied. We still develop it more and more, but it works quite good now. And this is the difference. No bubbles, but data. You can show the data in numbers or in a graph. And you can show this graph for the last 24 hours. So when you do your morning round, you see what happened the last 24 hours. And healing is a dynamic process. And this is the curve of the flow, and it's decreasing. That's what we like. So I give you an example. You all know. You have a young guy with a pneumothorax, total collapse of the lung, and you put in a chest drain. And then you hook it up to this electronic device and see the numbers. So in 95% maybe the airflow is going to zero within 5 to 10 minutes. But you have from time to time, you have patients with a huge air leak because of rupture of a couple of bubbles or bleps or a big bleb, where you have a high airflow, let's say 500 or more milliliters per minute. And then we say to the patient, hey, let's do surgery tomorrow or the next day possible. You save a lot of time because we know from data, from studies, from our own experience, if you have in the beginning a huge air leak, it will take a long time, a week or more, or it never heals up. So bring him to surgery and he can go home on post-op day two. So this helps you to speed up your decisions, to speed up therapy, to save time for the patient, to save money for the hospital, for the whole system. What is our clinical experience? In my experience, and I did it for almost 10 years, I recorded my data from surgery before I had the system, and I save almost 1 day in drainage time since I have an electronic device where I can record and read out the data. And another very important point is we do much less x-rays than before. As soon as you trust the system, if you are familiar with the system, you can interpret the data, you reduce your x-rays. And maybe some of you know McKenna from Los Angeles. He is the person in the world who did the most minimal invasive lobectomies, segmentectomies, pneumonectomies, and he does no x-rays anymore. He uses the system since 2 years, and he always said the first x-ray he is doing is half a year after the surgery. It's the first workup for oncological reasons. He does a CT scan. So in a normal case, we do just one before admission. So always a huge discussion when to remove the drain. We have actually we have two issues to the things to talk about. This is air leak and this is fluid. So if you see a zero flow, you can pull out the drain. That's clear. In the old traditional system, the canister, the water seals, the traditional water seals, you let maybe cough the patient, and I guarantee you, most of the patients will cough out a couple of bubbles. So pull the air drain, the chest drain, yes or no. And even if you have a flow of, let's say, 40 milliliters, you can pull the drain if it's a constant flow over a couple of hours. And this is the experience of Albert Linder, a colleague of mine who worked a lot with in a scientific way with chest drains and me over the years. If you have a low flow, pull out the drain, nothing will happen. What about fluid? We don't care for it anymore. Fluid is not an issue, especially in thoracic surgery, unless it's not blood or chylus, of course, unless it's not a malignant effusion where we want to reduce it, maybe by talc pleurodesis. But if we do an operation and it's not blood or chylus, we don't care for the fluid, we pull the drain. And there is a lot of data that everything beyond 400 milliliters a day, you can pull the drain. These are the colleagues who did a lot of scientific work on this in the last 5 to 10 years. So fluid is not anymore an issue. And these are the graphs you get from the system if you hook it up to a computer. And you see here the pressure, and you see here the flow. This was a pleurodesis. So it was everything was constant, and even they put it on -2 centimeter of water column. So nothing happened with the flow. So they reduced it to almost zero, and then you can pull out the drain because there is nothing going to happen. The same here, pull out the drain. This was a metastectomy. It was nothing happened, and you can pull the drain after a couple of hours after surgery. If you have a graph like this, nothing happens over days, you will do a redo. And you don't need chest x-rays. You know from the graph, from the data, when you are really trusting the system, here is no chance of healing. You will have somewhere a huge air leak. Maybe the suture has opened or something like this, and you have to do a redo. And normally, this is a graph we like after surgery, because healing is a dynamic process over the time, and flow is coming down, it's going close to zero, and negative pressure is always the same. So this is what we like, and this is what we see on the graphs, and this helps us to make the decisions. So when do we use these electronic, these new devices? Actually, after 6 years experience and more, we use it in thoracic surgery, we use it in all our surgical procedures. You can use it for pleural effusions, either they are oncological or non-oncological. Pneumothorax, I show you an example, of course in trauma. And you can use it in oncology, in pneumology. This works perfectly, and we do this in a lot of hospitals, not only in Germany, all through Europe and Northern America, UK, wherever you want. Limitations after pneumonectomy. After pneumonectomy, you should use a system, but you never should use a negative pressure on a pneumonectomy, on a chest cavity where no lung is in. Because you get the same effects as a tension pneumothorax. You will have a mediastinal shift, and you will have a kinking of the great vessels, and you get in severe trouble. So never use negative pressure on a pneumonectomy. And if you have a patient on ventilator with a big air leak, you should use this system or any other system where a negative pressure is brought into the chest cavity, because this doesn't help you and this does not make any sense. So why digital, why Topaz? Because we want to manage the pleural space. We had over the years, over 10, 20 years, we had the discussion suction versus no suction. This is not the right question. We don't talk anymore about suction. We talk about management of the pleural space, and this is based on the objective data. And you have this redundant place, and you have these negative pressures inside. You can measure them, and it's around minus 15 centimeter at the apex when you have maximal inspiration, and it's around 9.3 centimeter down at the diaphragm if you have maximum deflation. So this is the range where you move in normal circumstances, and this is what we want to restore. We want to not to put him on suction, but we want to restore it. And if you have this system hooked up to the patient, it always compares what is the reality and what should I reach. And if there is no loss of negative pressure, the system will do nothing but just watching the patient, watching the pleural space. Once again, this is the graph we like. Flow is coming down very quickly, close to zero. And this is when we read out the graph. This is the ideal healing process. So, coming back to the clinical work, what is a normal situation? Before we had this system, we'd made our decisions based on two situations, in the morning and in the evening normally. So we had a static view on the healing process. And with this system, we have at least 24 hours at a glance if you watch just on the scale. And this is what we should have, because once again, healing is a dynamic process. And this is one of the great advantages we have now. And there was a study presented at the STS this year in Orlando. And this is a multi-center study, and it's based on data from Italy, from Hong Kong, from Leeds in the UK, and from Yale in USA. And I don't know whether you can read it, but they found, like everybody else found, that you shorten your lengths of stay by shortening your lengths of drainage time, and that the patient's satisfactory is higher because they can walk around, because the system is not noisy. And this is very helpful for the whole surrounding, and the nurses are very satisfied with the system. So I thank you for your attention, and I'm happy to answer your questions if there are some. Thank you very much.